Hey, before you go, real quick, you want to recap these fights? Last one, did you
Sure.
see any of these?
Sure, yeah.
We got the first one that we had on the card was Glover Teixeira, and so, let me pull up this guy's name.
Yeah, he's got a tough name.
Sirkinov.
Sirkinov,
Yeah,
Misha Sirkinov.
Misha Sirkinov.
Yeah.
Sirkinov was supposed to be the next big thing.
Man, he can't hang. A lot of people can't hang with Glover's power.
Yeah.
He's just
No.
if you try to fight that kind of fight with Glover, in my opinion, you're gonna get knocked
No.
out.
So you mean that kind of fight, you mean sort of like in the pocket, getting brawling
You
or
don't want to. You don't want to stand at range and trade punches with
with
Glover
Glover?
Teixeira.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
he's too strong.
He seems kind of on like honestly, he seems kind of plotting too. Like he
He is.
it's he seems kind of like a kind of like that like your grandfather's Oldsmobile that can still rev up to high power but might take a little while to get off the line,
It's got power. It's got power. It's got torque, but it's just not.
It's not fast.
It's old.
And it's
He's
old, yeah.
old. 30,
He's
30, 38.
38.
Yeah,
He's
38.
38, you know. So I if you had to fight Glover, I don't know why you wouldn't maybe use a little bit more lateral movement and maybe try and keep him at range, you
Lot
know.
of leg kicks. You
Yeah.
could
Yeah.
you could you can you can eliminate him with leg
Yeah.
kicks.
So what's what happened there is like Glover landed a big punch, then started grappling him and then choked him out, right?
Yep.
Yeah. But I mean as soon as he got his hands on him,
You
there
can't
was a huge gap in competency.
you can't stand you can't stand there with him and trade, and you're just gonna get all dizzy
You're gonna start panic wrestling.
and then not be able to wrestle. Yeah. He got dizzied and subbed
And
out.
couldn't wrestle, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's actually not a lot to say about that fight except to say, holy fuck, Glover, you're 38.
Still
You
doing
know
it.
what? The youngest guy on the card is the next fight is Mike Perry and
Yeah.
Ponzinibbio. Mike Perry's 26.
Yeah.
The Ponzinibbio is I wrote this down, he's 33. Okay. The everyone else on that card is like 33 plus.
Yeah.
You know, so I think we need to start re-examining how old you can be in order to fight.
I think a sweet spot, like personally, a good sweet spot is like 33 to 35. Like I see guys seem like they're in their prime right about there. Like they're starting to, like they get their man, they get their they get their man strength.
Like the real power.
They get their body's fully matured. They still don't have the wear and tear on their bodies.
Right,
They're
right.
able to go, and they got that good cardio still. Their
Yeah.
heart's working the way it should,
Do you think that people are able to fight into their mid-30s because MMA is such a knowledge game? Do you think as the new school comes up, maybe that prime will hit like earlier in their career? But right now, I think you're right. The prime is like 30 to 35, somewhere in
Yeah.
there. As these kids, like the Sage Northcutt start coming up where they absorb all that knowledge and they're also like 24, do you think a kid like that might peak earlier? Do you think even he's going to have to wait till about 30?
I think it's always going to be the same, generally the same area because of the dynamics of how much time it takes to learn.
Okay.
Even I think it took a little bit longer before because people were learning individual disciplines
Yeah.
and then trying to learn how to mix them all together.
Yeah.
And now that they're now that MMA is actually what I would consider its own martial art in itself. And that's a whole nother subject, but I think they learn a lot. I think they learn faster, but I don't think it's the knowledge is as deep.
That's fair. Yeah.
So you
You kind of
still
have
get
like a
the,
broad, like a frisbee of competency,
yeah.
like this wide array of competency across all these various skills.
And I don't think it takes as long to become that as it does becoming good at one thing and then having to become good at another thing.
That's fair.
That used to take, 20 years. Someone could be studying since they were 16 years old and not get good at really good at martial arts and as a whole package until their mid 30s.
Well, like Nick. Got real good at jiu-jitsu, got real good at boxing individually, then kind of mix them up, right? But he was he's actually a guy who's just really deep into two disciplines
Yeah, their styles, those guys' styles are completely different than what you see the
nowadays.
true mixed martial artists today. We're talking about Darren Till earlier, before we got on air, but I think he's a good example of a guy that is really deep in Muay Thai,
Yeah.
but learned that he had to get good at mixed martial arts soon enough. So he pretty much backed off of Muay Thai and went headlong into mixed martial arts, and now he's very good at mixed martial arts at a young age.
Yeah.
You know.
So you think the is the way to beat it, if you're a guy with like a really deep knowledge set in Muay Thai and you're fighting like a guy who's sort of broad and everything, is the way to beat him to drag him into like those deep exchanges where hopefully your knowledge base is going to like edge out
Yeah, those trading situations, which what they w is what they do in that sport, in my opinion. You know, it's a trade, it's a this for that sport. So, you know, you kick me in the leg, I kick you in the leg. You kick me in the hip, I kick you in the hip. Let's see whose hip is harder, see whose leg's stronger.
That's rough.
And
That's
that's why you
rough.
say earlier, you said their careers don't last long
Yeah.
because they do that. That's the design of that sport. That's the entertainment, the very entertainment of doing that. They see how many knees they can take,
Yeah.
you know.
What'd you see in the punts in the Ponzinibbio fight and Perry?
I seen Perry needs to, in
He
my
needs to clean up
opinion,
his act, don't you
yeah,
think?
he needs to work on his footwork. In my opinion, his footwork at times is his feet aren't planted under him,
Yeah.
and he's leaning on his power. To a point,
Exposing his chin.
yeah, to a point where Ponzinibbio knew that he was looking for that one power shot, so then he would jab him, he would jab him off of him, circle out, and leave Perry against the cage, and then come in and start you know, basically throwing combinations on Perry when he was turtled up. You know, he was covering up, and he can't see the punches when you're covered up like that.
No.
So Perry was getting hit with shots he shouldn't have been getting hit with.
Perry said that he in the talk leading up to the fight, Perry said that he learned from his last loss to Alan Jobon. And I'm not sure that he did, 'cause it seemed pretty clear to me from his fight with Alan that the proper boxer, the proper kickboxer with straight punches was going to beat him
Yeah,
with his looping punches, you
absolutely.
know? And he's just kind of, what'd he do? He just kept charging forward with looping punches, and the guy with the straighter punches won, you
And
know?
I don't think Perry has a real strong camp. I think he's kind of by himself. You know,
Out there in Florida.
yeah, out there in Florida, trying to make best of what he has. And I don't think his wrestling game's up to par. He can't take people down when he needs to take them down. You know, he gets hurt, he needs to be able to rely on opportunity to take someone down and slow the tempo of the fight so he can land some of those good shots and wear the guy down a little bit and land some more good shots. You know, it's like Hendricks had the same a lot of the same characteristics as Perry does. The stocky, hard, long-armed, hard punching kind of brawler, and got a lot of knockouts. But he also was a, you
He was
know, a
also able to
ex
take people down.
extremely powerful wrestler from Oklahoma, I believe.
Hendricks is in the High School Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he was an awesome wrestler. But just to say, if Perry had more of a wrestling base, he could use that style a lot more effectively because he can get guys leaning on the shot and then hit them with big shots. But guys don't respect his wrestling, so they're not giving him opportunity to punch.
You know, let's call this Perry would do well to come out here.
Yeah, he would.
He
Oh,
Perry
absolutely.
would do well out here with Alpha Male, actually. You know,
Absolutely.
Perry, if you're listening to this, come train. Come train. Yeah, I think that look at what Chad does, where he fakes a shot and he comes up with that uppercut.
Yep.
You know, but he gets that reaction out of people because they respect the fact that Chad is going to blast through them.
Because his shot is so sick, dude. It's like, who couldn't? He's got that second weapon. That's why I see Perry does not have a second weapon. He's got a big right hand.
He's got a big right hand, and he doesn't corral people into it correctly. He just kind of it's just kind of like over and over again. You know who does a really good job of corralling people into the right hand is of course Stan Henderson, but also Roy Nelson. Roy Nelson will kind of like bump off to your left and make you circle to the right, and then he just kind of catches you with it. You know, I mean, he has like Jack Slack did a really this isn't my analysis. Jack Slack did a really good piece on sort of how Roy Nelson corrals people to the right. you know, with his footwork, with like knowledgeable use of the cage. And he, like, even though he really does only have that one weapon, he makes the most of it by sort of implementing good footwork, just like you said, right? To get people, to get people at the end of that shot. And Perry is just kind of over and over. I found him just kind of hitting air, you know, and that's really exhausting.
I think some of that has to do too with the fact that Nelson fights in the heavyweights
Yeah,
and they're less prone to move.
that's fair.
They,
That's fair. Yeah.
you know, and Perry's fighting, you know, welterweights. These dudes hit as hard as heavyweights and they're almost as fast as lightweights. You know,
Yeah.
that's a scary
It's
division,
a very
dude.
scary division. It's a very scary division. You know, just quick before we move on to the other fight, Ponzinibbio's got to clean up his act a little bit too, don't you
Yeah,
think? He
you definitely.
was a little bit too happy to brawl.
He's a, he yeah, he got kind of exposed in the fact that I thought he was a lot cleaner of a striker than he actually is in
Yeah.
his prior fight when he starched Gunnar Nelson
Yeah.
right before that. I was like, oh dude,
This guy's a real deal.
this guy's
Yeah.
gonna take everyone out.
You
But
know what? Let's say that. Well, let's say that that's the maybe that's the one positive thing that we can take away from Mike Perry from this fight is that Perry does seem to do a good job of forcing people into brawls.
yeah, he does. He does.
Because Ponzinibbio should have been avoiding those brawling exchanges.
He could have very easily just by better footwork on his part. His footwork kind of seemed like it lacked a little bit, you know, of maneuverability and ability to come off the jab.
Yeah.
Like when he threw his jab, he wasn't following up. He was just kind of sticking a jab out there and hitting Perry a little bit, and then, you know, then moving away. Instead of putting together like, you know, two shots or three shots. And I can understand it's not easy in there by any means to be able to do that, especially against a fighter of that caliber.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're talking about the level that those guys are at. They have to be able to do
Need
that.
to develop those other weapons. You need to
Yeah.
develop that footwork.
He doesn't have any kicks neither, from what I've seen. His
No.
kicking game's not there.
Yeah. You know what was pretty slick that I actually enjoyed seeing from him was the when he would miss the hook, he would keep that momentum going and come around the other side with the back fist.
Yeah, all he's spinning. Yeah, he did throw a couple nice spinning
Yeah.
back fists. He
Yeah.
I forgot he knocked Perry down with one
Yeah,
of
he
them.
knocked him down. And that's actually how it was the same exchange when Felder caught Castillo.
Oh yeah.
It was that same sort of exchange where like, oh, I missed this one, but I'm gonna come around with the other one.
It's almost even like a setup for that spinning
Yeah.
back fist
Yeah.
altogether, like intentionally missing that punch to
Yeah.
throw that spinning back
It
fist.
was really slick. I didn't the first time he threw it, I was like, come on.
Yeah.
But it was a really pretty slick.
I think that's you can also like lull someone into that too by initially missing
Yeah.
and making think, oh, he doesn't have this, like he can't hit me with this,
And
and
the
then
next time.
boom.
Yeah.
It
Yeah.
almost knocked him out too. That was a
It was
solid
clean.
shot.
It was on the chin. Not
Yeah.
much to say about the next fight, except Coach Joey's doing his thing pretty well here at Team Alpha Male. Josh Emmett
Man.
totally knocking the head off of Ricardo Lamas.
Llamas dropped his hands
Yeah.
and he got clipped.
Yeah, Lamas is 35. Emmett's 32. So I think again, just sort of
That
you know what you're saying.
follow-up hook that
Yeah.
got him, just like you said, initially with the spinning back fist and following up or missing with the hook and throwing the spinning back fist,
Yeah.
Emmett just rolled his shoulders and unleashed
Yeah,
a
yeah.
nightmare on him.
Yeah, that was rough, man. Dude, the first time he went down, I was like, oh my God, I think he's about to lose
Wow.
consciousness here.
Sleep.
Yeah, he put him out. I mean, that was a real
That was the
statement.
second knockout I've seen like that in a couple of weeks with Aljamain Sterling and how do you
Yeah.
say his name? Marais?
Yeah,
Marais?
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That was ugly. Sterling had to get carted off, I think.
Man.
That was really, really
It's
ugly.
just guys coming in at the same time as the punch or the kick is going out.
Yeah.
That collision, it's a head-on
Yeah.
collision, force
Yeah.
multiplier.
Yeah. In a big way.
Yeah.
You know, one of the early proponents of that was Lyoto Machida, where he would kind of make people come in, and
Yeah.
as they were coming in, he would catch them.
Well, those guys are masters at that.
Yeah. So it's that old karate style, right?
Point karate, man.
You know, one thing that I thought was interesting with the Emmett fight. You know, he that was like the last punch of like a three or four punch combination.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's actually pretty good for MMA. You know, and if you look at the next fight, RDA was throwing 7 and 8 punch combinations. The level of boxing in MMA is gradually increasing, is gradually getting higher and higher. And it's hard to do because, you know, the level of everything's getting higher and higher in
In my
MMA.
limited knowledge of boxing and what I've seen happen with MMA, the top MMA fighters nearly look as good as low level boxers now, like low level professional boxers,
Emmett
you
looked like a
know.
boxer in there. Emmett looked like a polished boxer in there.
Their stances, the way they're keeping their hands up, their head movement, the ones that make the difference have that good clean boxing.
Absolutely. Not a lot to say about this fight again, except you don't want to jump into the pocket with Josh Emmett.
No way, he'll bomb you.
Fucking murder you.
That was that was nice,
Yeah, I'm really happy for him. It's
man.
a, he's been grinding at Alpha Male for 8 years.
I can just tell, like, there's some serious, like, I don't know if they're demons, but there's some serious stuff going on in the back of that guy's mind.
Oh
Like,
yeah. He expresses it in the octagon, yeah.
he's got some stuff, like some depth of character that's it's in there. It's
No.
fire.
He's a good guy, man. He's always very, very like polite to like the civilians there. He's always very cool to people, you know what I mean? But I'm just really happy that it's sort of all kind of being put together for him, you know,
That's
when it has
awesome.
been. What do you think of RDA and Lawler? I'll tell you what I thought. I feel like Lawler ran into somebody who was better than him at what he does.
That's kind of an accurate way to put it. He just Dos Anjos was quicker
Yeah.
in every
Exchange.
exchange, in every aspect. His footwork's faster. He circles, he's constantly circling, constantly giving you different looks. He uses a lot of feints. He's in and out.
Yeah.
He's always a threat to try to change levels and take you down too.
Yeah,
You
no.
like you keep it just Lawler just didn't look comfortable. He never let
He was
Lawler's
always being kind of put off a little bit, right? Lawler was always kind of having to deal with something new.
You know how Lawler always says, I just go out there and get in their face.
He wasn't able to here.
Dos Anjos got in his face. That's what happened. He got in his face and he beat him up.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he did it. He did it the same way. Man, I mean, kind of the Tyron Woodley effect, like without having, having him knock you out with one punch.
Yeah, just kind of overwhelming
He
you.
just kind of he just imposes in on you, and you can't. You just
Can't
can't
handle
you
it.
can't push him. You can't keep him off you.
Yeah, he's just like this big wet blanket coming over you.
He's just constantly in range. He's snuffing your range out, and he's just finding angles to hit you at. See, people think Tyron Woodley's boring, but he's not really boring. He's dominant.
Yeah, there's some onus on the opponent to make it a fun fight
You
too.
can't let a guy just control the range like that. Any given moment, he's gonna back you up at any moment, and that's what Dos Anjos, to me, that's what he's doing. He's kind of just
Backing you up.
he's back he's constantly backing you up.
Yeah, Lawler really can't fight on his heels. Like he really can't fight going backwards. He wants to be the one backing you up. What I think RDA did exceptionally well was that he in the third round when he started sort of taking over, he really just like poured it on by mixing the wrestling in. He's like, "Oh, I'm beating you on the feet too. I'm winning these exchanges. I got you up against the cage. Here's a takedown just to really cement that round."
He
And he did a
does
good
it.
yeah, and he did a good job of stealing the second round too with a takedown at the end there too. So he's just kind of like he's like showing you absolute dominance on the feet, kind of staying, you know, with his head in your chest. And then, oh, here's the takedown on top of that. And you're just like, "Fuck, where do I go?"
Yeah,
Right?
his wrestling's like it's really underrated.
Yeah.
It's highly underrated because to me, he has some of the best MMA wrestling.
Yeah,
I've been
absolutely.
watching Dos Anjos dismantle people, strikers with that wrestling game, that wrestling forward game for a while now.
Yeah.
And the thing is the thing that's so scary about him is his wrestling is not just to take you down. It's to take you down, advance position, and then choke you out.
Yeah.
Because that's what he will do. If it goes past the progression, once he gets you on your back and you're not trying to stand back up, he's gonna move forward and choke you out.
Yeah, no, he's got all three tools. He's got the striking, the submissions, and the wrestling. He's a three tool fighter for sure. God, how good does he look at 172?
I think he's excellent. He's a little light.
He's a little bit smaller.
I think he's gonna have problems with.
Till. Till. Yeah. How would he do against Till?
I think Till will throw too many punches down the middle. His shots are looping too. Yeah. Dos Anjos throws a lot of hooks. And if he gets in there with a straight puncher like Till, it's going to throw that left down the middle. I think it's going to be a short
right,
night.
Right. And can you wrestle Till all the way down too? You know, probably not.
It's just too much leverage standing over you.
Yeah.
He's pushing down on you.
He's taller than you and heavier.
Yeah.
That's rough. That's rough. But, you know, it seems to have been the right thing for him right now. I feel like Dos Anjos does match up pretty well with Woodley right now.
Yeah, I think they would have an interesting fight.
Yeah,
I think Woodley. I think they're, like I said, their games, people don't recognize, they're very similar, other than the fact that Dos Anjos has so much more ground when they actually get there. Submission wise, Dos Anjos is a high level black belt.
Yeah,
but I think their games are very mirror
each
image,
other, yeah.
Mirror image of each other.
It's interesting, yeah, for sure.
They're kind of stocky bullies, you know.
I like that. Let me just close up with a quick note on Nogi Worlds here, and I'll let you go after some last thoughts from you. So I broke down and I finally bought the Flow Grappling.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, no, it's pretty cool actually. It's just $150, but you get the whole year. It breaks down to like $13 a month. It's really not much.
It's worth it.
It's worth it. Yeah. So I did it because I wanted to watch how Joy Pendle, who's on our, you know, on our second show, and how Dave Mitchell were gonna do, Jordan from, you know, from our gym as well. Mm-hmm. Dustin was gonna compete, but he has a lingering injury, so I'm excited to watch him compete in 2018 and see what the new year brings for him. But, Flow Grappling, you know, they're not sponsors of the podcast, so just so you know, this comes from the heart. It's a great product, you know. A couple takeaways from Nogi Worlds. One is, my God, you know, jiu-jitsu is growing, but it's still a small world. Like, they have a feature where you can sort of check out different mats.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I'll check out mat 1. Oh, those are two people I know. And check out mat 12. Oh, those are two people I know.
Yeah.
Check out mat 4. Like, oh, I know that guy on social media, but I don't actually know him. And like, oh, he's fighting someone I know, you know. I saw a lot of wins by advantage, which it's kind of like that strategic jujitsu.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of pulling guard, which again, what we're talking about, we don't need to beat a dead horse, but kind of like, you know, losing its fight identity. I'd like to see a little bit more activity on the part of the referees in terms of calling out stalling.
Yeah.
You know, you shouldn't be able to hold on to an advantage lead for 4 minutes.
I think you should. I don't think you should be able to sit down in the guard. Period.
I agree.
A penalty.
I agree with that.
I think there should be a penalty for sitting down in the guard.
Yeah, I think the penalty should be, you know, being
whatever
shot.
It is. Whatever it is, points, whatever.
Yeah, it should be something. I agree.
You lose.
Joy Pendle in particular lost her match, and I was really disheartened to see it because what happened was the girl got an advantage, and then just stopped engaging.
That's what they do.
That's what they do, you know, and that's really not in the spirit of jiu-jitsu. Of fighting or jiu-jitsu. Marcus Torregosa brought home some hardware. Jordan from our gym brought home some hardware, and then Dave Mitchell brought home some hardware. Some great matches, and then, you know, Keenan jumping back into competition as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, bringing home some hardware.
So David Mitchell's still undefeated, huh?
No, he lost in the semis, but came back down and got the third.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
He's been killing it.
He's 35 and he jumped into the adult division.
Dude, he's 38.
Is he really?
Yeah. I think he's 37, dude.
He's listed at 35.
I don't think he's 35, man.
Wait, is there some controversy on his age?
I don't know. I think he's 37.
Dave, how old are you? You got to tell us now.
I think he's older, dude.
Yeah.
But he's killing.
He's a spring chicken, man. He's young.
He's a savage.
He's a savage, man. He's a savage.
I love rolling with that dude. He's a crazy dude.
I like going at it with him because, like, he's a sharpshooter. Like, you might think that you're advancing position on him, and then he'll find something. He'll find something.
He got his black belt too, man.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a black belt for a while now.
Yeah.
All right, brother, it's getting about time to wrap this up.
Cool, man.
Any last thoughts from you?
No, man. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Yeah, brother.
This has been a lot of fun.
Thanks, brother. Thanks
Glad
for coming
I came
on.
Did it. Yeah. Cool.